two voices I want you to hear now. One is Heather Cherone, the political reporter, now at WTTW, Channel 11. Hi, Heather. Welcome to the show.
Hi, John.
It's good to hear you. You are also one of the Mincing Rascals. We just dropped a podcast, which is trending nicely at WGNRadio.com.
I like it.
The first 9 minutes of this week's news podcast are about the TV shows we're all watching, which led Steve Bertrand, about in the ninth minute, to go, does this podcast have a mission statement?
Turn the corner.
Because we were kind of off topic. But I'm telling you, that Schitt's Creek is a really good show. Okay, so that's Heather Cherone. Heather, I want to talk to you about the mayor's argument with the city council. But before we do that, let's also introduce Representative Darren Bailey from the 109th District. He's a downstate representative who is suing the governor. Darren, welcome to WGN in Chicago. How are you today?
Good morning. I am doing great on this beautiful day. Thank you so much.
Oh, what's it like down there?
Everything's great. Sun's shining, burned off the morning fog, and we've got a good day going on down here.
You're in Clay County. Are you from the town of Xenia, X-E-N-I-A?
Xenia is my home address, but Louisville, spelt like Louisville, is actually my hometown. That's where my office is at in the county seat for Clay County.
I went to school in Carbondale, lived in Edwardsville for a while. How far are you from SIU Carbondale?
So I'm about about an hour kind of north and east. So Effingham, you would have driven through Effingham a lot. I'm just exactly 30 minutes south of Effingham on Route 45.
Why are you suing the governor?
Well, serving as a state legislator, I'm frustrated that the people's rights are, being abused, that invoking, more of the three branches to be involved. I believe that we have an emergency act that was filed by the legislator in the late 70s, early 80s, trying to have a hard time putting a date on that, that actually limited the governor's powers to 30 days in an event such as this. His emergency order was issued March 9th, so that would have expired in April 9th. So, we're in unprecedented territory, and so I went along with things, and I've been in contact with the governor's office with ideas for our area and our region, and much of that seemed to go unheard. And so anyway, I waited until I saw, what further action was going to be take place. And when the extension was issued, I believe that is an abuse of power, and that entails
I understand that. So your county's had two cases, according to the Sun-Times, of COVID-19. So people in your area are like, it's not affecting us. We want to be able to open up our stores and resume our normal life. So while on the one hand, this sounds to me like kind of an academic argument, it's an emergency. Does the governor have the power to issue more than one of those emergency orders for the same thing? You're arguing no. I suppose if you were in Cook County, though, you wouldn't be interested in the academic argument. You would understand that we just have to do whatever we can do to save lives.
And I totally get that. And for the record, Clay County has only had one instance instead of two. And I understand that. And that's fine. But, that's exactly right. And we're, as Americans, we're smart. We've adapted. We've learned. I understood the first order. We know we can wear face masks. We know to stay away. It's much like any other, much like the flu season during the, during winter. If people don't want to go to church or don't want to go to the shopping because they're afraid they're going to pick something up, they stay in. And I think we've learned that.
But so people must be very frustrated then down there in Southern Illinois, right? The imposition of somebody else's problems on you, the solution, and you just, I suppose people are angry about this down there.
There's a lot of I'm hearing a lot of frustration in my district as well as the entire state. So, there's a lot of probably one of the equally challenging problems is the fact that, what this unemployment crisis, has created. So we've got people who still cannot get through the unemployment lines to even file their claim.
Yeah.
People who have filed still have not received anything. These people have got people that have been off work for going on 5 weeks now, and it's very it's concerning.
Darren, it's nice to talk to you this morning. We appreciate your time. Good luck to you all. Stay safe down there.
Thank you for the opportunity. You guys have a great day.
Heather, what are you hearing there? I don't know how many. I don't know how much strength there is in his suit with the governor.
Most officials that I have seen quoted say it's a pretty long shot. The state's constitution is pretty clear that the governor has pretty considerable authority to act during a public health emergency. And while his county may only have one confirmed case, the fact of the matter is that there is still not widespread testing, and the confirmed cases may be a significant undercount of the actual cases. And if people were to, if the restrictions, let's say, in that county were lifted and those people were able to return to work or to the parks or, right, you know, wherever they wanted to go, you could see a relatively quick explosion in the number of cases. And I know the governor has said that he remains significantly concerned about the ability of hospitals downstate and in rural counties to handle a surge in cases. And, you know, the state can sometimes move equipment and doctors and, you know, healthcare facility, you know, healthcare gear from one county to the other. But with such a severe outbreak in Cook County, that sort of additional capacity is really limited.
Speaking of the powers, pardon me if I may, Heather.
Sure.
I'm just thinking of the powers that these officials have. That Mayor Lightfoot got into an argument with the Chicago City Council about how much power she has. Just give us the headline on that.
Well, the mayor wants expanded emergency spending powers, and that initially she asked for an unlimited ability to enter emergency contracts. And even her allies on the city council said, no, that's not appropriate. So she said, okay, well, let's do $1 million. So the city council will reconvene today at 1 p.m. to debate whether to grant her that authority. Now, she says she needs that authority because of the Wild West of competition between states and cities and the federal government to get personal protective equipment and ventilators and other necessary items to respond to the pandemic. While her critics say, look, the city council can meet every 48 hours if notice, and that is necessary, and that should be sufficient. She says, look, sometimes it's a matter of hours that we have to act. And she has agreed as part of the compromise to notify the city council on a weekly basis about how she has used that additional spending authority. And she says that's sufficient. But this is really sort of part of a long-running argument between the mayor, who has been working to scale back the power of aldermen, and the alderman sort of pushing back and saying, no, really, we're a co-equal branch of government, and we can't let that power tip too much towards the mayor.
The question I posed to the Rascals yesterday was, well, how much do you trust Mayor Lori Lightfoot, given unlimited power or much more power to work fairly, reasonably, sensibly? I'm thinking of the story, too, of Susana Mendoza's staff in Springfield racing down I-55 to a McDonald's parking lot in Dwight and handing a guy a $3 million check for the promise of, in 2 days, delivering PPE. I mean, it really is the Wild West out there in terms of making government nimble. The vote is going to go her way today, right?
I would imagine so. The measure cleared the budget committee earlier this week on a vote of 23-10. So she only needs 26 votes to pass it. And there are certainly four more votes with her allies on the city council. And her critics can't block it again. They used a parliamentary procedure earlier this week to sort of make us come back and do this today. So their options are limited. But, you know, this is a city council that I've heard from several aldermen. They feel a little bit disrespected. They feel like the mayor is not necessarily consulting them as they would like. So I'm out of the prediction business, which I've told you many times.
Yeah, you certainly have. Well, you're a reporter, not a opinion host. That's my job. It's good to hear you, though. And thanks for being on our Mincing Rascals podcast, Heather. And by the
happy
way,
to do it.
Congratulations, too, on your new assignment at Channel 11. It's 9:57. Our news is coming up.